Per day. Do I get to where I like weed for a day? Hey guys,
Hey guys, you ready to go?
Ready to roll.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking like you're ready for a vacation in the islands, bro.
Oh, always freak.
Or to the sunny enough.
My problem would be the Aleutian Islands. You ready, Mindy? All right, let's get this show on the road. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners, the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District. I'm going to call this to order with a roll call.
Commissioner Higgins.
I'm here.
Commissioner Benson.
Present.
Commissioner Coleman. Commissioner Newman.
Present.
And President Gale.
Here. All right, we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wait, we're trying to get the hats, aren't we?
Thanks, Ryan. don't follow the guy in the
flag up top. Oh, peripheral vision.
Careful who you follow.
Don't read too much into that.
All right, so public comment. This section of our agenda allows for public comment on items not on our agenda. You have an item you wish to speak to that's not agendized this evening, please step to the mic, give us your name and where you're from, and let us have 3 minutes. No public comment? Okay, we're going to move on to the consent calendar.
So moved. Second.
So motion and second. All in favor, please signify yes by saying aye.
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 You're abstaining?
Yes, abstention. Because I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay. Communications, reports, and correspondence. Any correspondence received?
Do you have one item that was included in the packet?
Perfect. And then the ED's report.
Okay. So time for the executive director's report. Let's see here. So we have some little visitors on the island about this time every year, quite fascinating, a little bit of velvet. There are 3 bucks this year that we've seen so far.
When's hunting season?
2 are enormous, and then we got this little guy. So just a little bit of fun, some of the good stuff that we get to see here on the island tonight. Through here. Backwards. There we go. Okay, so the West Coast Dredge Hopper contract, the Madison Dredge Bay part, we've been reporting on this the last couple of meetings, has now completed its work. So the maintenance dredging of the barn entrance and some channel work is now complete. We were very blessed to have the Madison Dredge here for nearly an entire month this year. So we could get the post dredge survey here shortly, and very grateful to the Army Corps of Engineers for their work. We were also able to lease a slip to the survey vessel. So good for the district in that regard as well. There's always more dredging that could be done. There's always some channel work that we'd like to be done, and we try to work as effectively as possible. But the Corps really dictates those areas with some influence for the district. But probably one of our best dredge years so far. So very excited about that. Weather was to our favor. We received the Tier 1 concurrence from the USAPA Region 9 on Monday, maybe Tuesday. That's for our Whidley Island maintenance dredging. So we should have quarter approval here within the next week or so. And then we turn that to our contractor, Dutra, hopefully commence our dredge operations soon. So we'll be providing updates on that as final planning develops. We did a site walk yesterday with the US EPA, County of Humboldt Grants and Contracts Administrator for the Building Department and the Community Development Department, also Humboldt Waterkeeper. This is mainly in connection with our community-wide assessment grant that we have to test sites on the small peninsula, but also looking at a revolving loan fund opportunity that's out there with USEPA that we have available for some cleanup activities. So that was a really positive experience. We're grateful to have Waterkeeper join us and to be able to share some of her knowledge. And so we had two representatives from USEPA. We also, since this was written, there's some dredging going out, or some sampling going on at Hoods. So we're able to meet with Jennifer Sue, who is one of the people that we work very closely at EPA for dredge management in terms of their activities related to dredging and basically the person that approved that Tier 1. So it's nice to meet with Jen today. And then finally, we have a team meeting aboard the Mattaquette for our staff next Monday. So the office will be closed about 1 o'clock. And it's a special team building activity. We have an emphasis on education to our staff on the history of Humboldt Bay and our significant cultural resources. So very excited to do that. We're setting something up to do with the board here very soon. And then one quick thing, the young man sitting over here, his name is Brian Robinson. Brian is our new facilities coordinator. I'd like to introduce him to you. Brian joined us about a week ago. So
welcome, Brian. Thank you.
He's on the team. I'll pass the baton to Rob. Thank you.
Thanks. I just realized that I started this slide and never finished it. What is going on here, Chris?
That deer there we wants go. To get.
I never finished that slide, but I got some notes here. So Chris and I met with the Humboldt Transit Authority, is it this week? Feels like 100 years ago already. So we talked about the California Air Resources Board, number of regulations that we have in common. It was actually a really productive meeting. I think that we probably will lead to doing that more often. Air emissions and hydrogen planning. And so transit authorities throughout the state are in a big transition away from fossil fuel-based vehicles. It has a lot in common with vessels, and boats and ships. So there's a lot of regulations that we have overlapping and opportunities for joint fueling. And so we're really very new to the hydrogen conversation, but it's a good early partnership. Permits with Nordic are inching along, but we're getting closer and closer. Things are going well with the longfin smelt mitigation and CDFW permits that will lead to the core biological assessment, which will cascade into the water board permit. So it's all kind of right there on the precipice. Just heard from the California Energy Commission that they want to have a multi-port energy planning meeting in late August or early September. And so I'm just hearing about that, but it'll probably be everything other than offshore wind related. That's what I've got for
you. Saw they issued their articulated plan for $40 or $50 billion, including an energy pipeline to Reading. So the California Energy Commission is like throwing it all in. They don't have any money, but it was considered pretty gutty that they put it on the street for such an ambitious project, and many thought that it would be like nitpicked and never come out. So I think that was yesterday. You can check the local if you missed it. Mm-hmm. Pretty big news in California energy policy.
Where are they planning on having that meeting now?
San Diego.
But we should be there.
Either Chris or myself, I imagine.
Yeah. Good. All right. Any other staff reports? Little League? Baseball?
It's over.
Already?
It's over. Drop a ball now.
Where are you going?
Medford.
Okay. Should be cool. Commissioner reports, committee reports. I'll start with Aaron.
Don't have a lot to report tonight. I did participate in two Pacific halibut openers commercially and caught a little over 3,000 pounds of halibut, so that's keeping the wolves away for a while. Not much else to do. And heading up to Oregon for salmon season soon. Just kind of enjoying the summer. That's it for me.
Okay. I will report on something. I missed last meeting. I've been 5 weeks away in West Africa, and in the highlands of Cameroon, West Africa, where I served as a Peace Corps volunteer over 30 years ago, and established a very close and ongoing relationship with the Ingi people of that area. So I went back to reconnect, and there's a lot to this story. I normally don't share about personal stuff, but just coming back from that, it's just so close to my heart. I want to share a little bit. I left Cameroon as a 30-year-old returned Peace Corps volunteer, and in that time, I married in the tribal tradition there, and the belief there is that it's bad luck to start your married life without children. So the two newest born infants born to the tribe are strapped to your body, and you become parents on that day. So I was able to see my children, who are 31 years old. I got married there at 31, and my daughter and son born in the same week from different families are 31 at this point. And I was also in over time of returning there was asked and at first denied, and then later said yes to be a traditional ruler there, a sub chief of the tribe. And I inherited the wives of the Kwifan who had passed away. So I have an unconsummated marriage with two elderly women who have passed now. And so they would have been in their 90s, and at 30 years old, I basically got wives who were in their 60s and became their caretakers. And then I went there because the chief of Bonatu village had passed on at 98 years old. And so there was a coronation and enthronement of the new chief, and I'm inducted into that family and palace. So I needed to be there as a kingmaker. And so I went there to do a death celebration for that chief. And I was sent back with the charge to greet my people here on behalf of His Royal Highness, the Fon of Bonatu. So I bring you greetings from Bonatu. And I especially ask special permission from the people to bring stories of other indigenous people who aren't of this land, and to bring that greeting from indigenous people in West Africa. So it's been quite an epic journey, and let me tell you more about it, not in the public environment. So,
really sweet. Tough act to follow.
Yeah.
I caught a halibut. There it is. You know,
littlest one too.
The trick to a fish picture like this is I'm holding that fish out there like that, and that way it looks just like the 55 pounder next to it. If you notice, my right hand is on the gaff with the guy with the big fish, and he's standing in the back. Rick had never caught a halibut. He won the trip with the EJ Eric Justine on the Wharf Rat 2, and he caught a 55 pounder. And it almost pulled him over the rail, came up like a barn door. And then when they took the rod out of the rod holder, ran sideways. Matt on the left was a true sea dog. He showed me a picture of like a 160-pound bluefin tuna he caught.
Oh my goodness.
You know what I said to that? I don't want any part of that. That's too much work, seriously. Completely overboard. He also, though, had a top rope fish story where he caught a 15-pound ling cod, where a 30-pound ling cod tried to eat it, and that's called a hitchhiker. That was also with Jake on the Seahawk out of the cove. And he had a 10-pounder in the morning, which might make some people smile, but he was looking for something bigger. And he got a shot at the captain's fish and took one 33 over the rail and the closing moments. So I am flush with omega-3s, grateful to the ocean energy that creates this amazing halibut fishery. All I want is a little better shot at it, and they keep working on that with the International Pacific Halibut Commission. But these fish are extremely fit. They have a really good growth rate. There's a lot of recruitment of smaller fish into the population. And the International Halibut Commission says everyone that's born down here at Punta Gorda goes to Washington. They don't. They don't have to. They got a gravy train. We've got all kinds of canyons. So we have an endemic population, and they ought to give us a better shake. And now I'll get off my high horse. And it was just all about halibut. But I'm interested in California's. I got a 14-foot Klamath boat that's like new, although it was built in 1970. And I'm going to start to use laser minnows and see if I can get in touch with some California talent. Just one-on-one. See if they want to go home for dinner with me. My wife has dubbed the name of my boat, The Keeper, with a message that, like, don't go just fool around. Bring something home for dinner. So.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, it's been kind of a busy month, but not on Harbor District business. I've been playing. I have a grandchildren, many grandchildren, and had birthdays. And so we've been playing with babies. And there, you have a baby in your life, life is good. It is nice to have babies. This week we met with aquaculture folks, many of them I know. And I got to see our staff in action, and they are stellar. I was very impressed. And I think one of the things we are really good at is take care of business. One of the things we're really not so good at is getting our information out. So it's just nice to see misinformation get corrected. And I thank you for that, Rob. Well done, pal. Well done. That's all I got. Moving on. Unfinished business.
Unfinished business, pike minnow. There was 1,665 this year. Last year was like 1,150. And the pike minnow has 15 to 40,000 eggs. And so we will never be done with pike minnow suppression. We let them go in the eel, and we have to keep on it. And it could be really fun. And I think it could be tasty. So I forgot my pike minnow message.
Okay, thank
you. There it is.
So unfinished business, 6A, received status update regarding the Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy Lift Marine Terminal Project. Can we have an acronym for that? Like,
I've been lately calling it the HLMT, Heavy Lift Marine Terminal.
LMT, all right.
I have tried. I'm pretty good. Like PEACH, Program to Eliminate Creosote Files in Humboldt Bay. I cannot turn this thing into an acronym, but I'll keep trying. We'll figure something out.
I know we'll get there someday. All right. Thanks.
Thanks for believing it. All right. Quick summary project update. We're on budget. We're on schedule. The project design is progressing with no new major modifications from the last time we've shared this with any group. A lot of special studies underway, with some special studies being released in clusters starting this month, which I'll talk about more in a moment. It's a lot going on with community engagement, a lot of significant underway and planned. What's been keeping us busy lately? Surprisingly, having $455 million in grants is a lot of administrative work. And there is so much to just managing all of these grants. I'm grateful to Mindy for doing all the stuff that I hate doing. And there's just a ton of paperwork and tracking budgets. So that's a time consuming process.
That is lucky. Not by accident.
If you recall, because we switched from a state grant to a federal grant, we had to do the procurement process all over again, and contracting with Moffitt Nickel, that's been pretty time consuming. The County of Humboldt is working on a workforce study for offshore wind. And so I've been participating in some interviews with their consultants lately. Preliminary dredge sampling and analysis plan and material management planning is really starting to heat up. Marine geotech planning and strategy, I'll show you a schedule for that. A lot going on in surges with utility and power demand analysis and planning. Agency coordination, especially around the special studies they're looking for and conceptual mitigation planning. That's the worst abbreviation of planning I've ever done, but it fit in one line. We've been talking to Port of Long Beach and BOEM a lot lately about the project areas of our various projects. So BOEM has got offshore wind farms in the ocean. We have vertical integration facilities from which those wind turbines will be assembled and towed to the ocean. Where does one project begin and where does the other end? That's been ongoing conversations. Pretty good results there. then coordination with all of the other California ports and the California Association of Port Authorities, and looking at everyone's various projects and how this is all going to come together. A lot of time, and Chris really leading this, funding strategies and financial planning, what I call proto-lobbying, and coordination with the state. Tribal engagement, I just did a quick glance. I think Chris and I spent over 16 hours in the past 4 weeks with seven different tribal entities, meetings with a lot of different interested parties and affected communities, work on a strategy regarding site operator, and draft visual simulations are currently under review, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then we have a newsletter that's getting really close. So what's coming up? The first newsletter, I think we can release next week. It just needs to go to Chris's review for tomorrow. Cluster of special studies will be released on July 22nd on our website. The next day we'll have a public meeting. I'll show you more about that in a moment. Then we'll release a new YouTube video, release the visual simulations, and then we have a neighborhood scale public meeting planned for residents of the Samoa Peninsula on the 31st. In August, we should be able to kick off our Baywide Master Plan with lots of opportunity for engagement there. And that's the Baywide Offshore Winds Master Plan. September, October time period, maybe some more public meetings if needed. October, the dredge sampling and analysis plan and geotech sampling could occur. So that would be a large vessel in Humboldt Bay doing cores, taking samples. In autumn, more studies would be released, some like noise studies. So we're about to release the visual. Noise would be coming up, but there's literally dozens of others. And then navigation simulations, which will answer a lot of questions about tow out. Early 2025, another surge of studies released, and then we are shooting still for March for the draft environmental impact report. So this public meeting, a week from this coming Tuesday, the doors open at 5. We'll probably get started around 5:15. Sequoia Conference Center. We'll do project updates, some Q&A, public comments, provide pizza and drinks. And we will be displaying visual simulations of the project in the bay. That is my report for the moment.
I have some questions for you if you can take some. Partly it's just catching up from being out for a month. Maybe some other commissioners know the answers to this. In terms of project design, I see that it's being done in pieces. Is there going to be like a presentation of 30% design, 65% design, 90% design, like in phases, or and when is sort of our projected date for having a final design to apply to the draft EIR sometime before March 2025?
I don't think you would want presentations past 35% design, because at that point it all looks the same and it's just detailed, boring structural engineering calculations.
Understood.
Right. Right. At some point, it's like not a big difference in reviewing the 75 sheets of design plan specs between 65% and 95%. I don't know if that's a good answer to your question. We're currently around 15%. From here to 35% is a big stage where you're really locking down where things are on the site.
And this is draft EIR going to be based on that sort of
30%. That's right. The 30%, exactly.
We still need the flexibility. We're not ready to go to 65% much later.
Right. Does that answer your question?
That does.
Yeah.
Gets me on it.
Unbelievably productive.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing July there.
Well done. Hey, Rob, I want to clarify. I have in my calendar that we're at the Wharfinger. You're saying it's at the
Sequoia Conference
Center.
That's right.
Okay.
Where did you get the Wharfinger? Was that?
I
want to make sure it's not on our website or any.
I don't know. Either I put it in or you put it in. Because you put things in my calendar all the time.
I do.
So I just want to make sure that that's correct.
Thank you.
I can confirm that I saw Sequoia Conference Center as the location.
On your phone or
for the July 23rd meeting?
Okay. I Rob puts things in my phone that I sometimes don't know he puts in my phone.
We probably talked about it at a subcommittee meeting at some point in time and said put a place marker in there.
So, okay.
Where we knew our exact location.
I'm fearful that he puts other things in my phone too.
I just need your password.
That's an easy one. You wouldn't have any hard time finding that one. All right. On to new business. I'm so looking forward to this.
Okay.
Oh my God. Any public comment on Rob's status report? Please. I apologize for that. Thank you.
Can I ask another question?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay. As all these special reports come for special studies, will they be presented to us? Will we have an opportunity to read them or comment on them? Or what's your expectation of the commission in terms of all those coming up? And there are many, though, that are numerous. So.
I'm happy to share all of them with you, but I'm not sure you would want to go into that level of detail. So there's going to be five different reports just on stormwater. Right. And I suppose the board is obviously welcome to comment on those, but I don't know that you're going to want to get into the details of which
as
way the
go,
water's
as
flowing.
We are interested to see them as
right. But there will literally be dozens of them. And I think with each release, they're going out to the public, and so we'll receive comments on them from anybody that wants to comment.
So there will be preliminary comment periods that will be before the draft EIR, which will have major comment period.
Comment period is a technical term under CEQA law, so I'm not going to say that we have a comment period for the special studies. We'll receive comments, but there's no comment period for how we are designing the stormwater system or what the calculations are for what the 100-year flood will look like. There are comment periods in CEQA, and so the DEI will have a comment period.
Yeah.
If we chose to release an initial study, that would have a comment period, but the special studies themselves don't have an official comment period.
I just recognize that we have a community that likes to be involved and likes to make comments, and so I'm just...
Yeah. I should think through that further. So
that be in writing or through the commission meetings that people be able to make comments on some of the
I'll have to get back to you next month on exactly what our strategy is. I haven't honestly thought about it that way, but we are releasing these documents, welcoming comments, but I should have some sort of system where it's more formal that if somebody wants to comment on our calculations for the 100-year flood calculations, then we'll have a formal way to receive those comments.
I'm just looking for a way to give a decent answer when someone says, how are we going to be able to comment?
Yeah.
So maybe that's something to strategize.
And I can probably add something to that. Most of the time, CEQA generates these types of reports, white papers or reports or from questions that have been posed or concerns that have been proposed. And the district or the applicant or the generator of CEQA puts these white papers together or these informational packets or these studies together. And then that's in a part of the document that answers that question or answers that concern. And so frequently it's just part of the process. So that you have a question, why is a wild dog wild? And we spend $1 million on a study to answer that question. And it's put into the document and you get to see it when the document is out, right? That's the way it works.
Normally, we're releasing our special studies earlier than normal.
So, the comment will be or the discussion will be during the comment periods of CEQA.
That's right.
Okay. So there's ample time. I mean, we're 2 years out on a CEQA document. There's going to be lots of time and lots of opportunities in CEQA to comment on any of those studies. I think. He thinks there's always lots of time on CEQA to comment. And we generally, if somebody asks for an extension on a period, we generally give that extension.
I'm just trying to get a metric on whether our strategy is to give people lots of small opportunities on discrete pieces of the project or kind of withhold that and then have one big comment period. Sounds like it's parallel. We're going to sort of do both.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you. That's, I just wanted a general indication of what's coming. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Sorry, I apologize for skipping you guys. And I've already asked for comments from the public. So we're going to move on to 7A, new business. And we're going to receive a report from students at Redwood Coast Montessori School on their studies related to community and wind energy.
So we'll invite Lincoln and Tobias to come up. We received a request from one of the instructors at the Montessori School that we meet with Rob and I. And so we had an afternoon lunch with Lincoln and Tobias and had a little follow-up since then. So they approached us about coming to present their work tonight. We'll move them a little bit for the camera.
Yeah,
just put the microphone so it'll record.
Yeah.
Link it to
Tobias.
Yeah, so
stand
at the mic.
Microphone doesn't actually give you any more volume, but it puts it on a recording so people can see.
And you can pull it down. There you go.
In the screen, so you can see where you are in there. So I'm missing one of you.
Well, some t-shirt. Let us figure out where this is going to pick up on the screen the best. Do you need to refer to this when you present?
No.
Okay. Let this hear many, so it's on the computer screen? Or
that's perfect.
Okay.
But nobody in the audience can see it.
They're going to present.
Hello, my name is Lincoln and this is my partner Tobias. We are students at the Manila campus of Redwood Coast Montessori. Today, we will be talking about our Humble Healer project, which focuses on the proposed wind farm here in Humboldt Bay. We wanted to know how the wind farm here in Humboldt, would positively and negatively affect our community. Energy is a really important resource in the modern day world, and having a large source of energy here could really be impactful in both a negative and positive way. We wanted to learn more about it and share the information with others. We made this poster to share the information with others in our school community. We are grateful we were invited to share it here today.
When we first started making this poster, we were originally going to have just pros and cons, but we decided to include some background information to provide some more depth on the topic. In the first top part of the poster, we decided to explain how wind energy works for some of the people at our school, like the youngers, who know less about the topic. In the second section of the poster, we decided to give some background information on California and Humboldt County related to why this topic is important to our area, to lead into more specific information about the project. The general topics we wrote about in this section were population and the energy consumed. The population and the energy consumed, including the amount of non-renewable energy consumed. Goals of various agencies related to energy use and energy generation, how we offer a beautiful natural environment that needs conservation and responsible management, the opportunity Humboldt County has to provide leadership with wind energy and tribal partnerships, the connection between how what is good for Humboldt County is good for California, and vice versa.
In the third section, we show the benefits and disadvantages of the wind farm. On the benefit side, we have how it will generate jobs, energy, and income. Also on the benefit side, we have reduced carbon emission and combating climate change with substantial energy source. Sustainable. We also point out that the project gives the leadership what they need to move forward with the sustainable development plans, because It includes the voices of others in Humboldt County, such as the indigenous communities, residents, conservationists, and the people in the fishing and aquaculture industry. On the disadvantages side, we have introduces social safety concerns like sex trafficking and MMIP risks. Our poster points out that the wind farm structures and infrastructures create some negative impact on the fishing industry, natural environment, recreation, aesthetics, residents, and aquaculture.
When we first started this project, I didn't know much about the topic, but I found it really interesting when I learned that the building of windmills for other areas on the West Coast and the project for our own offshore wind were two separate projects, and people who were against one weren't necessarily against the other. It's a very basic fact that I found out towards the beginning, but I still find it interesting.
Having this development will put sea life at risk, including oysters that live in the bay and that local residents rely on for their income. The oysters in Humboldt Bay are not infected with the herpes virus that other locations in California have. The increased boat traffic puts the oysters at risk for infection. One positive effect I found interesting is when I was researching the wind farm about how many homes it will supply energy for, I found that it will produce enough energy to support 25 million homes. This will decrease our use of fossil fuels and bring us closer to Humboldt County's utilizing 100% renewable energy by 2030. Any questions or comments?
Yes, have remarkable diction. Very clearly, have command and language. Really, you express yourself clearly. So I thought you did a really good job.
Thank you.
I also want to appreciate this work, and it's a really great summary. I mean, this is a summary that a professional would give. To give us the basic reasons why we're at this and what some of the advantages and disadvantages are. And I want to also add to what Pat's saying, you also spoke slowly. Oftentimes people who don't present a lot really race when you didn't. So we really, really got the message. I'm curious, not only Lincoln and Tobias, you mentioned a list of advantages and disadvantages. And I'm just curious in your own opinion, at this time, what do you think the greatest advantage is? What do you think the greatest disadvantage is? Is there something that popped out in your mind is like, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen and this is the best thing that could happen?
I think one of the worst things that could happen is that the oysters could get affected by the herpes virus. And one of the best things is that it will be a sustainable and green energy.
I don't really know about like the worst disadvantage, but like just all of them together. But for the advantage, just like the most basic, which is, as he said, just combating climate change with a renewable and clean energy source.
Continue to impress with your summary. I think cumulative impacts, that's sort of a fancy word for maybe all of the things, the disadvantages together. One that may not stick out, maybe the combination of all of it. Thank you so much. And I also appreciated your use of the words may or might as opposed to it will, because sometimes we don't know exactly. And even our best studies that we do here will give us a really good pointer, a good idea, but we're not definitive about what will and it's sometimes it's our best guess. Definitive. There's something good for you.
Thank you.
Mr. Newman?
All I can say is bravo, excellent, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a call. I I get the last word. All right. Yeah, I have listened to a lot of speakers, and we have seen a lot of presentations in this room over the years. This is probably the best one I've ever seen. And we have had PhDs in here. We have had college students from all levels. We have had scientists. You guys rocked it. I'm really proud of you. And I think along the lines of what Commissioner Benson is saying and Commissioner Higgins is saying, my question is, do you think the benefits outweigh the risks? Can I add to that before you answer? So you understand one of the biggest threats that we see from climate change or carbon in the atmosphere is our oceans, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Two of us up here have made our living off the ocean for many, many years. And it's different. The ocean is different today than it was 50 years ago. And there's a reason for that. The science is in my mind clear, but one of the reasons is we use coal fuel, carbon-based products to generate electricity, and we don't need to anymore. And if we can eliminate that, it will greatly benefit the ocean. It's not going to do it today. It's not going to do it in my lifetime. It's going to do it in your lifetime, though. Well, I hope it will in your lifetime. So now I ask that question again.
Well, for me, I think that it is that the benefits do outweigh the disadvantages, because it's looking towards the future, and doing this, it helps show other places if it like works and helps the area. But there are many disadvantages along with it that we could, I don't know, like try to compensate it with.
Well said.
I feel like the disadvantages and the advantages are quite even, but I feel like the advantages do outweigh the disadvantages by a little bit.
Well said. Thank you guys. I am so impressed, and I hope you consider a career in wind energy, because you are our future, and our future looks bright. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a special request, and can we keep poster?
Oh, we have yes. Oh, right. Yes.
One thing I don't see is your names as the authors of the poster, and that's important.
Well, we'll make sure they sign it. How about we do that before we hang it up?
Sure, sign your names on.
Well done, Lincoln Tobias. All right. Oh, is there any public comment? I'm sorry, again, public comment.
Are we going to follow that?
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, they're also very, very well groomed, very nicely dressed, and it was awesome.
Way nicer than us.
And I'm sorry for that.
One thing real quickly, Tobias and Lincoln, we want to invite you back to spend the day with us, and we'll be reaching out to your teacher to organize that real soon. Get you out of the water and you experience Lucas Lewis firsthand. So.
Make them buy you lunch. Make them buy you lunch at the Marina restaurant here. All right, moving on to 7B. Community engagement commitments and strategies for Humboldt Bay offshore wind heavy lift. What'd you call it, Rob?
HLMT.
HLMT. You're fine.
Thank you.
Nice. All right, ready? So this document, Community Engagement Commitments and Strategies for the Heavy Lift Marine Terminal Project, is before you for your consideration for adoption this evening. This comes from an unofficial version that was produced about 2 years ago and then revised and shared with you about a year ago. And we've been working on it since. It's been unofficially guiding us throughout, Executive Director Mickelson and I have agreed that it would be worthwhile for you to adopt this and give us some guidance on it. So I'm going to walk you through this document. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, though it is only 5 pages long. I'm going to focus on these components here. Happy to come back to the other components if you'd like. So community engagement commitments and objectives. I'm not going to read all of these. I do just want to drill in on a couple of them as examples. And the reason we changed this from the community engagement strategy to community engagement commitments and strategy is because of this section here where we're effectively committing to something. So for instance, the district will strive to involve the people that will be most affected by the project while respecting culture and language differences. The district will work to identify and remove barriers to participation that have historically disengaged residents and communities. That's really a commitment more than a strategy. Another example is sharing of background information. So we will provide educational content to interested parties to ensure that all participants are well-informed and understand the greater context of proposed project activities. As another example, we will create mid-project milestones that offer various ways for audiences to learn about the project and to provide input via electronic and in-person channels. And as Commissioner Benson pointed out, we need to do a better job of clarifying how we're going to receive comments throughout the lifetime of the remainder of the project. And then last example, we will regularly assess the objectives and strategies of this document in pursuit of fair and productive civic engagement. And we will revise the document as needed to apply ongoing lessons learned. Next section, impacts, equity, and engagement evaluation criteria, internal evaluation criteria. So at each stage in the project, we as staff, and we ask that you as board members ask these questions. Who is positively impacted by the decisions we're making? Who may be negatively impacted and for how long? What are the main concerns, issues, and interests of the interested parties in affected communities? Will any individuals, institutions, or groups be disproportionately impacted? Is additional public input needed or required? And are there any linguistic or cultural barriers to engaging with interested parties in affected communities? This is a list of the categories of interest groups, interested parties, affected communities that we will be working with. And each category has some examples. There is no way this can be a comprehensive list, so we probably missed someone. If you want, we can go back through every time we have a new specific stakeholder group or interested party group and add them to this list. But it's really not the point of the list. It's more to be a demonstration of the range of people that we are seeking to work with, not a comprehensive finalized list.
Well,
that list goes on to the next page, and the public meeting section talks about the types of public meetings we plan to hold. Then there are sections on how we plan to communicate with various parties. And the last part I want to focus on are these community-based project advisory committees. So we have a technical advisory committee. And we are working on a community engagement, community benefit program advisory committee, a green terminal committee, environmental mitigation, dredge material testing and management, aquaculture, and then fisheries, and others to be established as needed. So looking at these, this one has been established. It consists primarily of community development directors, public works directors of the Arcata Eureka County, executive directors of local environmental advocacy nonprofits, people like that. Then the environmental mitigation subcommittee is already established and very active. That is the regulatory agencies. So we've got, you know, ecologists and regulatory specialists, PhD specialists in environmental impact and mitigation. The Dredge Material Testing Management Regulation Committee is already active and has been for quite a while, and that is helping us identify what kind of constituents we need to test for when we do dredge sampling. Aquaculture Committee has met 7 times, and so that consists primarily of a representative of all of the aquaculture businesses in Humboldt Bay, as well as regulatory agency staff that specialize in aquaculture, some trade group associations associated with aquaculture. Anyone I'm missing, Chris, category-wise? So it's a pretty big group, and we meet monthly and very productive conversations. Commissioner Dale joined us for the first time yesterday. Then our board, you have a subcommittee on fisheries, and so we engage with that committee periodically. So that leaves these two still yet to be established, and we have already initiated the process of forming those. And so we worked with the technical advisory committee to seek advice and a list of potential names to feed into those two. And then the community engagement committee will be participating in helping us, the Green Terminal Committee. And I want to conclude this part of this report with just the very first section here. So the document outlines our commitments and strategies related to community engagement for the project. This document is not meant to be final, comprehensive, or conclusive. Additional community engagement strategies and commitments may be added throughout the remaining lifetime of the project. So we expect that this will grow. This is just a start. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Rob. So any comments from the board? Any questions, comments from the board?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, first of all, and I love to see it. I'm really enjoying and appreciating how this document is evolving. You know, one of an early conversation we had, Rob, was looking at the Core Hub 2-pager, where they made a lot of requests about the kinds of 5 committees that they wanted to see, 7 funds they wanted to see. There was a lot of requests, and one of some of the discussions at that time was, how can we ensure that we make this community engagement plan resonate with some of those requests? Not that we have to directly take each of those committees and funds and use them by name. What I'm seeing in this is that the two high priorities from Core Hub, one was a community advisory committee, can really be met, in my opinion, through the CAC, through the Community Advisory Committee, and not so much the Technical Advisory Committee. So I'm pleased to see that. The second priority that I kept hearing from Core Hub was the Adaptive Management Committee. And so I'm wondering where that one is going to fit, or which of the committees might best serve that area of interest. And we don't have to, I'm not asking for an answer to that right now, but just something on the radar for finalizing this and adopting it is just, I think just another run through the Core Hub request and just seeing if we have adequately done due diligence to try to meet those requested needs but in a way that fits our operating culture rather than their operating culture.
Yeah. I'd say we meet with a lot of interested parties and affected communities in various groups, mm-hmm. and many of them have requests. Not all of them put their requests on websites or send them to board members. So while you've received a list from the Core Hub, you haven't received lists from many other organizations we're meeting with. So
a lot of ass.
I think we can continue to talk about that. And number 8, other committees to be established as needed. Mm-hmm. So if we feel like there's a need for, what is it called?
The Adaptive.
I think that's, largely environmental mitigation, but we can look at it in more detail.
Can I add something to that? I think this whole strategy is adaptive management. And maybe it doesn't need a committee. Maybe it's just a part of the strategy that we include in some of the language of the document, that adaptive management is
intrinsic to this. So I don't know that you need a full-blown adaptive management committee. But that's my opinion. Any other comments?
Yeah, I've also had a lot of input from members of the community about it. There's so much anticipation for this to finally be happening, and I'm really impressed. I think that it's very extensive, and I don't see where many folks got left out, and that's pretty impressive. Thank you.
Hard, easy to put on paper. A lot of work to do.
Agreed.
Patrick?
Well thought out. It's thorough.
Thank you.
Another good job.
I'm going to take it to the audience then. Anybody care to comment on our community engagement commitments and strategy?
Hi, my name is Robin Gray Stewart. I am the Marine Chair for our local Sierra Club. I want to thank you for the effort that you've put into this. But I did want to mention that since I've probably been to more of your meetings than other environmentalists in the area, that I was surprised, even though you said it was a complete list, that of your list of people you would be working with, you didn't include the Sierra Club. Anyway, just thought I'd mention it.
Thank you, Robin. We can probably get that on there.
Hello, my name is Rachel Smith, and I'm the program manager of CoreHub. Thank you for having us here tonight, and thank you so much for the community engagement strategies and commitments. A couple that I particularly appreciate are the commitment to easy participation. Sometimes bureaucratic processes are practically impossible for normal people to understand and get involved in. So that's a really crucial commitment. I personally work in this stuff every day and still find it wildly confusing. So I do really appreciate the resources and the YouTube videos, all the things you guys do to make this easier for the average person to navigate. And so that's a really crucial part of community engagement, as well as the commitment to transparency. To be meaningfully involved, we need to know and understand the things that are going on. And I'm looking forward to the quarterly newsletter about offshore wind in Humble. I think that just speaks to the other two commitments that I just mentioned. I'm curious about the composition of the various committees, because I didn't see that mentioned in the community engagement strategies and commitments, and how the seats are chosen. And I want to emphasize the importance of a diversity of voices within each committee, not just the community engagement committee, particularly of voices that have been historically excluded from decision making around large industry and large development locally. I also want to agree with Craig that a lot of this process does resonate with the things that CoreHub has been talking about. And so we really see and appreciate the work you're doing. In regard to committee number two, the Community Engagement and Community Benefit Program Advisory Committee, our recommendations are that they work with the Harbor District to help embed mechanisms to address protections and benefits into project design and related permitting processes, legal agreements, and policies. And that they foster transparent and effective communications among community members, developers, agencies, governments, and sublessees throughout the entire duration of the development, and that they collaborate with community partners and the Harbor District to develop community agreements with strong accountability mechanisms throughout the lifetime of the project. And then in regard to committee number three, the Green Terminal Committee, first I want to thank you for committing to a Green Terminal strategy and roadmap. And then that I would like to see seats on this committee that represent traditional ecological knowledge, as well as the committee including a good spectrum of community leaders with local lived and scientific experience around the Bay and environment. And this could include a lot of the people that you mentioned as people interested in this project, but not necessarily as seats on these committees. So that's kind of what I'm more interested to hear about. And that could include peninsula residents, community leaders, environmental natural resource departments at tribal nations, local environmental experts, and local fisheries and unions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Good evening. I'm Carol Vandermeer, and I wear a number of hats, but tonight, the Peninsula Community Collaborative. I'm also a Manila resident, so keenly interested in this process. And yes, big thank yous all around for the commitment to pulling this together and the work that's been done and the commitments that have been made. And I hope to continue to work in partnership with Harbor District to help build that as we go along. I would love to see on the community engagement committee, there's, like you said, there's a number of us who've been involved with Peninsula Collaborative, Core Hub, and, you know, come to find out what kinds of names you need. I know, Rob, you mentioned that the technical advisory committee might help inform and suggest names, but I think there's a lot of people that you've been working with for a while that could probably come up with some ideas. So I think as the name implies, you know, that community engagement should have members of the Peninsula communities, you know, on it as well. And I will just echo what's already been said. A lot of diverse voices are important, not only on that committee, but others. And there are a lot to pull from. I also want to just comment, I'm glad to hear tonight that you're going to work on clarifying your strategy around CEQA and how you go about in a systematic way releasing those documents. I think that's really important. I've heard that from Peninsula members, you know, when will we see, I think Craig mentioned that, see these, you know, .30% designs, what's the timeline there? And even if they are cumbersome, and many of us probably will go, oh, I don't want to look at all that detail, just knowing that it's there, where to find it, what my window of opportunity is, really goes a long way with transparency. And yeah, being transparent about, you know, the names, I know we don't want to track people down, but, you know, just kind of understanding who is it. There's so many great people in our community, and just it will help inspire confidence to kind of know who's serving on these committees and not have it, you know, enshrouded in some, you know, perceived, but maybe not secrecy, but just, you know, just want to be really open. I think transparency is really key to everything. So thank you again for all your good work here.
Thank you, Carol. Anyone else care to speak on our community engagement strategy? All right, seeing then, Rob.
You need a motion.
I do.
I'll give you one.
Thank you.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, please signify by saying nay. Motion passes. Stephen's suntanning somewhere.
That's big. This is
big. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's been 2 years in the works, and it's taken a while to get here, but we're here nonetheless. Please, 7C, consider adoption of resolution 2024-05, a resolution to authorize the execution of a grant agreement and accept funds from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife for secretariat services for the Harbor Safety Committee of the Humble Bay Area for fiscal year 24-25.
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. You can pick your motion. Right. Do you want to talk about it, Chris, or do you want me to just, this is a committee that we operate, but it's paid for by OSPR from California Department of Fish and Wildlife Service. It looks at every aspect of Humble Bay and the safety and contingency plans for fuel and navigation in our harbor. And so I think Mindy does. Are you the secretary? Nope. Oh, okay. Amber does it now.
Mindy, well trained her, in fairness.
We keep the notes and the minutes, and we run the meetings and hold the meetings here at the district. So it's a great program, and it's, I think it's the law, isn't it? We have to do it. Not we don't, but the Fish and Wildlife does. Anyways, any questions from the board? Any questions, comments from the audience? Seeing none, I have a motion and a second. It's a resolution.
Yes, it is a resolution. Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Benson?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman? And President Dale?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you to Fish and Game for paying for the Secretariat Services. Item 7D, consider adopting Resolution 2024-06, a resolution authorizing the execution of the application and agreement for Social Security coverage for employees of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District who are members of the California Public Employee Retirement System, PERS. So moved.
I'll second.
Oh, thank you. I have a motion and a second. Do you want to talk about it?
Only if you want to hear about it. Yeah, okay. So about a year ago was when the bargaining agreement was approved with OE3, where employees expressed an interest in joining Social Security. November is when we passed the first resolution in the process, which then made a ballot come through. So employees were able to vote whether or not they wanted to be in the Social Security program. All new employees from here on out will be enrolled in Social Security, but current employees did get the option. Since that ballot has been submitted, this is the next step in the process, which is just an agreement and another resolution.
Very well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Sure.
As a member of CalPERS myself through Cal Poly Humboldt, I keep reading, I'm getting little bits of information, but nothing definitive about whether one is going to cancel the other out, whether CalPERS benefits might not allow you to collect Social Security or vice versa. Are you getting any information?
I'm not getting any information on that. I did see that CalPERS is no longer accepting new companies to be a part of the program. That's all I know.
To see people.
If it helps, only 3 employees voted to be a part of the Social Security program.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. We have a motion and a second. It's another resolution.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Benson.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman. And President Dale.
Yes. So.
You didn't ask for public.
By golly, I didn't. I'm really neglectful tonight of the public.
I thought you did.
I don't remember, Mindy.
I don't. Does anybody remember?
It's a pretty riveting subject. So we're moving on to future agenda items. I see we have a resolution supporting community engagement. We just passed a strategy for that.
We'll be developing that resolution through draft work with the community engagement committee.
Okay. We have our final budget adoption. Is that on the 23rd? We're going to do that.
24th.
On the 24th. So we have a meeting on the 23rd and the 24th?
23rd is a public meeting. It is not a board meeting, but that is a presentation night. And then on Wednesday, July 24th, we have a special meeting. We need to bring in additional counsel for a specific item, and that is the availability of that particular individual.
You're killing me here.
What are you doing on the 19th?
The 19th? That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Friday.
Yeah, I guess that's my question on item B, final budget adoption. That's going to happen on the 7/24, the special meeting.
Yes.
So do we yet have a meeting scheduled for the finance subcommittee?
Getting very close. We'll reach out to you for a call on Monday. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Just be nice to be. Have a couple times to look at it.
I'm not on that committee, thank God. Anymore? No, that's not me anymore. All right. Issuance of a solicitation of interest and request for qualifications in support of the development and operation of the district's proposed heavy lift marine terminal.
you foresee that on the next regular scheduled meeting?
That'll be in future meetings.
Okay. All right. We can all come to the meeting on the 23rd.
24th.
The meeting on the 23rd.
We have a quorum now. That is correct.
On the 24th, we have. And the 23rd, we can all
come. We can all be there at the public meeting. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have to sit up front? Or can we sit in the back by the back door? Okay. Patrick?
In the interest of my civic duty to stimulate involvement from residents of the 5th Division of the Humboldt County Harbor District, I don't have my hat in the ring in 2024. Uncle Pat's on his victory lap. 17 years is enough. And I'm making some space for new community leadership. And got a lot of talented people in the 5th District. I'm sure it's going to sort well.
Do you live in the 5th District?
Thank you, Greg, for the license.
Absolutely, Patrick. All right. So I see any other special or agenda items that you anybody would like to see on here immediately?
You know, I promised you that I would show you the comparison between flows in the eel and the amount that we have to dredge out of the harbor.
Oh, I'd love
and
to
so see. I'm wondering if staff or somebody from this ACOE could whip me up a graph of the amount of dredged materials over the last, 10 years, 20? It's up to you. And then I'll run flow years, and there's a very strong correlation, just kind of like eyeballing and everything that works in terms of the ocean and the way sediment is transported. Suggests that the eel directly affects the Mount Humboldt Bay more than any other factor.
Adam did that for us about 6-7 years ago. We'd have to add some years to it, but I think Adam did it along with
These are readily available data from the core. They should,
yeah,
you know, just yeah. Somebody's just got to whip them up in Excel.
Yeah, so for the August 8th meeting.
And I could take the data and make an Excel. So, however, you guys want to share.
So, Pat, if we did it for the August 8th meeting, would you have pictures and be able to stand up and present to us? Not from the chair.
Yeah, why don't you give me September on this?
Okay.
Okay. I'll get you something really nice.
Okay, I'm sure they would like
even that. A few fish pictures.
Mr. Chair, I'm thinking the answer is no, but I just want to ask publicly,
no.
do we need to add to the agenda a revisit of the signage repair application, or has that been dealt with?
That's coming on the 24th.
That's some other future, not this immediate. Okay, all right, thank you.
It's coming. We're not there yet, but it's coming. All right. I thank you all. I want to remind you all that the rodeo starts Monday in Fortuna.
Yeah.
All right. Come out and support your favorite cowboy. And what else? What else is happening that we should be supporting in this community?
Got a fair coming up in August. Lots of
The fair's coming up.
4-H and FFA children.
The West Haven Blackberry Festival.
The Blackberry Festival. Who could forget the Blackberry Festival?
The West Haven Volunteer Fire Department.
I love that. So I thank you all for coming. I appreciate Lincoln, your presentation here, and Tobias did a great job, and I'm just thrilled. So everybody have a great rest of your month, and we'll see you next month. Thank you for coming.